You are now listening to the Purpose Edit podcast.
You got to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to have the ability to self-assess, and not everybody has the ability to self-assess.
You don't necessarily have to like school to be successful in school. You just have to know how to play the game and finesse it and get through it.
Welcome to the Perfect Settings Podcast. This is a short yet powerful conversation designed to help you do three things that can ultimately change the trajectory of your life. One, discover your purpose. Two, walk in your purpose. And three, ultimately fulfill your purpose. I am your host, Coach Vic, and I'm joined as always by my lifelong friend, my brother, the educator, Dr. Shane Calhoun.
Dr. Shane Calhoun, what up, homie?
What up, big dog? How you doing?
Man, I'm amazing. I'm amazing. How about you?
Right now?
Yeah, right now in this moment, I'm amazing. How about you?
I've heard that before when people come in my presence.
I see you are with the shenanigans already.
Not today, not for real. I'm good, man. I'm good. Doing the do, living the life, as they say.
Yeah. You've been going down Lochapoca. There you go.
Yeah, I was down there. We had camp 2 weeks ago. So I was there every day. And then this week I kind of pulled off and let the new guy get his foot. But I think they're going to be good. They're going to be good. I keep telling them that, like, it's going to come a point where I'm going to come around and be like, man, what the heck does he want? Why is he here? Yada, yada, yada. And he doesn't seem to believe me. But, like, people have this tendency, I'm learning, to have to compare. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to appreciate a couple things. So I'm looking forward to seeing that so I could further separate myself.
You're looking forward to people comparing?
No, I mean, because there's not going to be much of a comparison. And that's not a knock to him, because it's just different times. But I'm looking forward to him being the face. Like, that's his program.
Gotcha. Him to take it over. Yeah. I get that. That make a whole lot of sense. I shot you something maybe last week that it blew my mind, and I was curious if you ended up looking it up. I sent you a name. I said the Weather Channel, Byron Allen.
Yeah, no, I didn't look it up.
Okay. So I'm listening to a podcast, and the guest, I can't remember which podcast it was, but the guest on there was talking about some of the people that they admire for their business moves, their business savvy. Mm. And they had mentioned this guy's name, and they said, here's why he's probably my GOAT. Said Byron Allen, I believe he's like, or has been an executive at BET. He's like a billionaire, something like that. He's done a lot of things. Well, he bought the Weather Channel. It's a move like, why would you buy the Weather Channel? That makes no sense. He said, let me ask you something. How many states report their weather? He's like, all of them. Every last one of them. He say, now, do me a favor. Name one competitor to the Weather Channel. Can you think of one?
I can't. I mean, the local news?
The local news is pulling it from the Weather Channel, it seems like. And even they get it wrong when they report the local news. Most people will go to the Weather Channel saying, local news don't know what they're talking about.
Interesting.
No competition. He said the Weather Channel literally has no competition. Mm. And every single state is going to have interest in what's happening in that channel. Mm. Blew my mind when you think about trying to make moves. Like, what you think about and pay attention to, the markets you're trying to get into. And the Weather Channel ain't sexy. Nothing about owning the Weather Channel sounds sexy. Mm-hmm. But how sustainable is that move and that idea long term?
It is super funny you say that, because not only sustainable, but like also trendy. People like, for instance, I'm just going to use the thing we've been talking about, vinyl. Don't do vinyl because of the weeding. Don't do vinyl because of the weeding. So everybody now was talking about sublimation, DTF, this, that, and the third. But what is the one advantage with vinyl?
What is the one advantage with vinyl?
Yeah, more so than any other medium of printing shirts.
I don't know.
Customization. You see what I'm saying? So you running over here, weeding takes too much time. But let me ask you a question. If a plumber coming to do work, right? If he got to change whatever the part. Oh, let's go on mechanic because we can talk parts. If a mechanic got to change an alternator, it's going to be time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you got to do vinyl, charge appropriately. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But it's kind of like you said, everybody's rushing. Here, trends. And you get in these spaces where it's crowded, but nobody pulls back and think about, like, am I good right here? Like,
yeah.
Great purchase. You're right. No competition. But we want to jump into the competition sometimes because it's hot.
Yeah, because everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it.
It must be a recipe for success if everybody's doing it.
Yep. Remember, I think I said it on the last episode about the gold rush. That's when Levi's came up. And, you know, you think of another business that probably made a lot of money was the shovel company and barrels.
Man. Yeah. Out of nowhere. All of a sudden, everybody needs a shovel and a barrel. I tell you who else came up. The gun companies during that time.
Probably. Yeah. Busting gaps. Hey, that's my piece of gold. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to think about it. I think we so just so stuck on catching up, man, and trying to just look hot instead of just finding your lane. Like, I don't know. Two things can be true. My analogy about the bread aisle. There's more than one bread on a bread aisle, but also bread needs mayonnaise. Bread needs salmon meat. Sometimes you need whole grain bread. Sometimes you need free bread. Sometimes you need onion flavored bread. You know, there's a lot of different ways, man.
So is there anything recently that is trendy that you found yourself jumping into or pulling out of after you realized that you were following it just because of the trend?
Everything. But I'm not pulling out of. I think I'm trying to carve out my own niche and just find, okay, this is what happening. This is what's happening. This is the part that I like. This is the gap. And try to fill that role. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's just, you know, whatever it is, if however I fit. Like, I think right now the big thing that's been on my mind is audio. And I think we've talked about that. Like, I really believe that there's money in audio.
Mm-hmm.
But so for the podcast, for instance, the craze may be not only do we need the podcast in audio form, but we also need it in video form. You have to have it in video. Well,
yep.
If you're not really making no money on video, or if the money's in the audio, what's the rush? Because so-and-so tells you that's the move. So I think pretty much everything I'm into is it feels like the buzzword and it's hot, but I'm just trying to find. I really feel like I've found loopholes in something where I'm the only one doing it and talking about it at an extensive level with the course that we talked about last week.
That's what's up. Yeah, my trendy thing was stocks. Jumping into stocks.
Now, was it trendy or were you just impatient?
Well, jumping into it was something that I always wanted to do, but I got into it because it was the hot topic at the time. And I'm glad that I did, honestly, because I think it set me up for where I am now. And when I say where I am now, like I got a financial advisor and we're talking with him about setting up for retirement, like questions that he's asking us. Dude, I'm 40. Why are we talking about retirement? Because you got to set yourself up now for what that will look like understanding what, if something happened to me, how much money does my family need? What do we need to have in place? Can we start putting those things in place now? So when we start talking about investments, retirement accounts, non-retirement accounts, IRAs, all of that, before tax, after tax, all of that stuff, because of that foundational knowledge from when I jumped into stocks, I now can have this conversation. I don't feel like I got to get over a huge learning curve when we're talking about mutual funds and what do we want to invest in. But like even that, like he asked a question. He said, what age do you want to retire at? And I had to make something up. I said 60 just out of the blue because I'm like, I've never thought about that. Like, what age do I want to stop working? Have you thought about that? Like, what age do you want to retire?
Hell yeah.
What age did you say?
Retirement's not an age, bro.
Okay. So what are the parameters for you to retire?
Do you have enough money to support your lifestyle?
Okay.
So it's not an age, it's a number. So legitimately, let's say, well, to answer your question, I got 10 more years before I can retire from teaching in the state of Alabama. So 49. Now, am I going to stop working? No, I'm going to probably go across the border and double dip until whenever, whatever. But let's say, God forbid, I got hot and I was able to jump my salary, double my salary through my business. I can say F you job and I can just sit home and work my business, or you know what I'm saying? So I think retirement is not necessarily an age. It's how much money do you need to support your lifestyle when you consider all your bills? And then when do you have it?
So I guess then the better question is, by what age do you think you will have accumulated the number that you need to support your lifestyle?
I don't know. I've given up on trying to trying to figure out that. I have a 5-year goal and I have a 10-year goal. So my 10-year goal aligns with me, knock on wood, hopefully retiring from education in the state of Alabama. So the plan after that, I don't know. But so I don't know that I've set an age or a timeline where I need to be there by that. Because I always said, if I didn't make it big in music or producing by the time I was 35, I was going to stop. Well, it just so happens at 39, I found my rhythm. You know what I'm saying?
You kept going, right?
Exactly. But that's what everybody does. And
God you didn't listen to your own plan. You didn't follow your own plan.
I've used this before. Quincy Jones produced Thriller in 1983, 84, somewhere in there. He got his first Grammys in 1960 something, but he was 49 when he produced Thriller, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So some of us I heard this dope quote the other day, and it said, I really get mad at Usain Bolt. He says he trained for 4 years for 9 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people quit after 2 months.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So we can't dictate the time.
True. True. I guess. So like for me, I'm goal oriented in the sense I need to have a target that I'm aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
And if I achieve said goal before that time frame, then so be it. But now, let's say I get close to or right up on that time frame and I don't appear to be close to hitting said goal, then that's where I'm going to pivot and adjust. All right, how far off am I? Was the goal way too far off? And more than likely, I would have evaluated and asked that question. But for me, like, if I say 60, right, I turn 40 this year. So for 20 years, for the next 20 years, I'm going to be building towards a number that's going to take care of what retirement looks like, right? But at 60, I want to be done working. That includes whether it be my own businesses or working for somebody else just because I want to. Like, I just want to be done. Me, Tasha, let's just go travel. Let's just go hang out. Let's just go explore, see the world some more.
Great player, baby. I don't think I'm ever going to retire. Woo! Never going to retire.
I will retire from active income, but my passive income will still be happening.
That's the goal. Yeah. Yeah. I could see that being a thing.
Yeah.
Yes. But I can also see me always doing something.
You like Troy Polamalu commercial, never not working.
Yeah. Never not working. I can always see myself doing something. But again, that may change in a couple of years. But where I'm at right now, my first stop is 49, retire from the state of Alabama in education, and then figure out what the next move is from there. You know, by then I might have the business where I never have to go corporate again. So 50, I'm at home working for myself, doing my own thing, and you say earning it passively. I don't know.
Crazy. Where did the time go, bro? We was just in high school. Where did the time go?
I know it.
Hey, you sent me a crazy text talking about a topic and you will explain. I have no idea, no context whatsoever as to this conversation, but you at least piqued my interest.
Okay. Well, I was doing some snooping around yesterday and editing, and if we post it correctly, this episode will be our 100th episode.
Get the funk out of here.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. This will be a 100th
celebration. I don't have any hands or applause noise. You know what that sound like, audience. Play that in your head right now. Give us a salute. Shake a tail feather, whatever.
Yes, episode 100. 99 will be top five, which is edited and ready to go.
All right.
Top fizzle.
Yeah, but yeah, this episode would be
wow
100, bro.
Congratulations, brother.
Congratulations to you, too.
100 episodes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like retirement. When we first started this, I didn't have a number in my head or how many episodes. Like, I didn't put no thought to it. We was just working. We were never not working, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we had 100 episodes.
100 episodes.
How does that feel right now? How do I feel about 100 episodes? My first reaction is I feel blessed. I feel great because just like new businesses, when they get started, I heard a stat somewhere that most podcasts don't get past like 20 episodes mm-hmm. when they get started. It's something crazy. So to be at 100, right? That's a huge accomplishment. But I also feel like we could have and should have been here long time ago. We should have had 100 episodes long time ago.
Interesting, because I feel like we haven't scratched the surface yet.
I feel like we should have been at 100 episodes, meaning there was that period where we both kind of let up.
Yeah. I would argue that we're still very much so in that wave of not as consistent as we could be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are still in the early stages of discovering what a podcast is, what it can do. Because again, like most audience. All right. I'm going to share. Can I share our rule when we started? What the rule was?
Sure. Before I don't remember.
All right. You have no idea because you don't remember, but you set the rule.
Okay.
All right. So Purpose Addicts, when we started this podcast, it was merely a passion project and an opportunity for me and my brother to connect on a regular basis because we weren't talking consistently. Most people don't know this. We were not talking consistently. But when we did talk, we would always pick up right where we left off. A lot of stuff happened between the pandemic, turmoil, or whatnot that was happening around the world. When we set out to do this, we had one rule. The minute this feels like work, we quit. No questions asked. The minute this feels like work. And the reason I think we set that rule back then is because we knew right off the bat. We knew two things right off the bat. We knew our personalities would turn into obsessive about this and would try to push hard and try to make this thing be the next dream that we're going to accomplish. The other thing we knew is that because this platform and this vehicle could be so successful, that it could also turn into a revenue producing platform. And in order to do that meant that we had to keep up with a certain standard. We had to elevate it. We would have to do a lot of stuff. What you see, what you hear from us, we are not trying to make money off of our podcast. This is genuinely how he and I have always rocked with each other. And we still got the same rule. The minute this feels like work, you will no longer hear the Purpose Addicts podcast show. That is the rule. So when I think about 100 episodes, it's because we didn't have no ulterior motive behind this. We really didn't.
I agree. I think the part that I disagree with is, I'm thinking about ways to make money, man. From the pod.
He switched things up.
No, but but I think it works two ways because I don't think money can be the only driving force of things.
Correct.
I think, and I think that's the line for me. Like, when I say I don't want it to feel like work, I don't want it to be about the money. Like, if the success of the podcast, if my livelihood revolves around the success of the podcast, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if creatively I'm finding ways to generate revenue for my time that I'm spending, which in a lot of ways, like, think of how many ideas we've had that's grown out of this. So whereas the actual week-to-week audio may be earning minimally, other things have grown out of this. So in a lot of ways, it is revenue generating.
I've gotten speaking gigs that have paid decent
because of
it. And they found me on the podcast.
Yes, 100%.
Well, look, answer this for me, right? The number 100 is a milestone. It's supposed to be significant, supposed to represent something. We weren't expecting, I don't think we were counting down towards 100 episodes, but mm-hmm. we're here now. So as you now think about your life, what has the number 100 symbolized in your life thus far? What has that milestone kind of meant to you and your life up to this point?
I don't know, because how often do you think about the name 100 outside of getting 100 on a test?
For a lot of us, that's where it first started. So did 100 matter to you back in the day?
No.
It mattered to me. It mattered to me.
Absolutely not. It did not matter. No, but
Matter now?
Well, you know, it's oddly enough, when I set goals, like, for instance, I have this thing that I'm working on, and the goal is 100. So when I do something 100 times, I feel like I've completed the goal. Don't know why. It's over there on the wall. So I guess the number 100 has some type of significance. But I think in terms of 100 episodes in a podcast, it's pretty dope to me to see where we started and where we are, because so much of, I feel like, my identity is wrapped up in this podcast now. Mm. Like when we initially started, my only thing was I knew you wanted to be a motivational speaker. Yeah. So I was really just wanting to be a sidekick and just get in because I just like to talk. I wasn't looking for anything. And now it's almost like 100 episodes later, I've taken on this like persona that like
you really are create
content and doc and all this stuff. So it's just significant because I really appreciate the journey, and yeah. I've become through the pod something that I never imagined.
Yep. Yep. It unlocked a lot for the both of us, but to see your evolution go from, I just want to be the producer behind the scenes, which was your default, to then over time getting stretched and becoming a content creator.
Yeah.
That's the story within 100 episodes.
Yeah. So it is, it's been a fun ride, man.
Can you think back to when the switch flipped? Like, was it around end of season one, into season two?
Right around the time we started speaking with that network and we had our episode. Because when I started messing around with those reels, and the very first time... the very first time I did a reel, I had something like 5,000 views. And you called me the next morning and you said, it was early too, you said, what did you do? And I said, I don't know. I just was messing around and somehow it got 5,000, which is just understanding the algorithm.
Yeah.
The first time you post, the numbers are naturally going to be higher because they're trying to feed you that drug.
Yeah.
So then you go back chasing that, like, you know, I have a video.
They help you. They help you and they push it out and even send you alerts when it's somebody's first time posting. Hey, did you know your friend just posted for the very first time? You should go check it out.
Yeah. So, for instance, I had a video on my TikTok, one of my TikTok pages, the Create and Hustle 1440. I have a video that went quote unquote viral and had something like 79,000-80,000 views with, you know, the number of likes to follow. I haven't been able to get back there. So like now you're on this drug of like, how do I do it? How do I do it? How do I do it? But once you do it, once you get it, like once the ball rolls, it's like a snowball.
Yeah.
But it's just like that hitting that drug of getting it to roll. So
yeah,
it's been interesting.
The journey.
So that was the time when right around there, when I started messing with the reels, I think that opened up a whole nother world. And we're talking about coming up on a year now that I really been studying the reels and stuff.
Going back and probably reflecting on that journey, that some of the lessons learned would probably be a good blog post, would probably be a good reel even for you, like just thinking back to like what were some of the lessons along the way to 100, and that would probably be good for the both of us, and that might be another episode, is lessons learned from the first 100.
Let's run that play next time.
All right. I like that. Now I'm gonna have to definitely go back and listen to episodes and then come back now and reflect on the topics then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, homie. For the sake of time, I got to get out of here. I got an early start. Footwork. What's new on the docket? What does Doc have on the docket? See what I did there?
Put your music to work course. I still don't have the website to verbally tell you, but I will put it down in the notes. And it will be on my socials. I have a link to it on my socials.
Bet.
Or Create Hustle 1440. But yeah, put your music to work course, man. It's done and it's out. And I'm just now back into the creating more content for it.
I'm still waiting on my tutorial too.
Tutorial.
You were going to teach me how you did the course.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, let's set that up. I didn't know we had a tutorial needed a
Come
lesson.
On, man, that's an automatic. You learn something, you teach it back. I learn something, I teach it back.
Okay, I got you. But yeah, so it's there. Basically, how to monetize your music on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And YouTube as well. So it's just a course laying that out, specific steps, and we talk about the snowball effect and all that good stuff. So I'll have the link in the course in the bio.
Bet.
What about you? What you got?
Just started for the first time. Drum roll. My first blog, Lessons in Leadership.
I saw that. When I read it and I told you about those pictures, I did see that. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, man. We started a blog, my friend. A lot of these nuggets, this knowledge, the experience that I have working with coaches from large organization to just people who aspiring to become a leader one day. I'm putting it in a blog sharing advice, experiences, and actionable tips that people can use to become a better leader of self, others, and organizations called Lessons in Leadership. You can check it out on my website, CoachVicLive.com, CoachVicLive.com, and you'll see the blog.
Wow. And I guess we could also talk blog promotion because I have one as well, musicedblog.com. So I guess that's the next thing that we have to discuss, like how are we promoting these blogs?
That's what I'm learning about right now. How do you promote a blog? I got a couple friends from a speaker world who also have blogs, and they've been giving me a couple tips that I got to explore with myself, how to leverage it, put it out on different platforms, like taking it from my website, optimizing it for LinkedIn as a newsletter that people can subscribe to. They done showed me a couple of games. They showed me the video, how to turn it into a video form.
A vlog, yeah. Okay, well then we're gonna exchange services one Saturday.
Absolutely. We'll set up that tutorial.
Yeah.
Bet. Yeah. Homie, as always, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you rocking with me for 100 episodes. Let's shoot for another 100 more.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look back at the journey and see all the lessons learned in that time frame.
100%.
But it's been a dope ride, man. It ain't over though.
That's exciting.
Quote of the week. Quote of the week. We'd be remiss if we got out of here and didn't give you a quote.
Oh, my thing says jet lagged. I'm not jet lagged no more. I am 2 weeks out from going back to work, so I'm almost depressed.
2 weeks. Oh, I'm listening to Jonathan McReynolds, gospel artist, listening to one of his songs, and he said this line that I said, man, you're right. And it says, did you know that worry does not add one single minute to your life?
Sure don't.
Worry does not add one single minute to your life. So why in the heck would we worry about anything. Freaking thing? People, Purpose Addicts, if you haven't already, like, subscribe, share the show. We always appreciate you rocking with us because you're going to get dope, authentic content from two best friends who went separate paths and found themselves at the same place pursuing purpose. If you're addicted to your purpose, then you're a purpose addict like us. As always, live life on purpose. We out.
And I think a lot of times everybody's not going to understand your vision, your walk, your purpose, your desires, your dreams, your goals. And they don't have to, because I'm going to tell you a secret. Everybody ready? It's yours. It don't belong to them. It ain't they teeth to brush. Ain't they armpits to put deodorant on. It's yours.
This message is for anyone who is not answering the calling on their life. I want you to take note of something. That one thing, that one talent, that one gift you have, that idea that could give birth to a solution that possibly brings harmony to the world will never get the chance to breathe life if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. That's right, I said, if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. Too many times we settle for good things when we can have God things. And purpose is a God-given gift. Not everybody fulfills their purpose. Not everybody discovers it. Not everybody walks in it. But if you're willing to give up the good things to get to the God things, well, baby, I promise you, purpose, that's for you.
Failure is a part of success. I heard that somewhere. I didn't make that one. Failure is a part of success.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could try 10 times and you may not get it to your ninth, but what if that ninth try or that 10th try is the one that gets you that million? Instead of looking at what we have on the inside and utilizing our tools, we always look in other places and try to pull from here, pull from there, when most of the time it's right here inside of us. There are no problems. There's only solutions. Let's just be in a habit of fixing things or finding a way out.
My favorite quote that I learned
is that fear does not stop death. It stops life. It stops us from living. And I need you. We all need you to live. Will you do it?